whether you're getting away or getting amongst it. Time to catch up on Kennedy Malloy with the Holden Colorado. Now with 7 years free scheduled servicing across the 4x4 range, you're free to take on anything. Visit Holden.com for more details. Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Malloy.
And welcome to the big Thursday, Oaks Day edition of Kennedy Malloy. No Kennedy. We are down a man.
Where is she?
Well, we'll get to the bottom of that in just a minute. Hello, Dangerous Dave.
G'day, Mick.
Hey, we've got a big show lined up anyway. Coming up, we're going to cross live to the Oaks where Jane Kennedy has a horse running. We'll see.
I'm going to put some money on it too.
Your own?
Yeah.
Because you're notoriously stingy.
No, I'm happy
what
to
are you
put
do, a couple of dollars each
$2.50
way.
$2.50 each way. $2.50.
What are you going to do? Steal that out of the...
Hey, mate, how dare you? And I'm not a tight ass, and you know that.
Designed for
no,
the...
I'm out of my own hard-earned.
All right, we'll get to the bottom of that. Iron Maiden, bugger me, coming to Australia.
How
great
good.
News all round for lovers.
Horns are up.
Horns are up here in the studio as we speak. Hey, Michelle Payne will be coming on to talk about... She'll be riding... In the Oaks, she'll be riding Jane's horse. Jane
wow.
owns the horse. It's all chicks.
Don't get any better than Michelle
Payne.
It
doesn't get any better than Michelle Payne, cup-winning jockey.
Yeah.
We recorded an interview earlier with Jane, with Michelle.
Mm.
We'll be rolling that out in the next hour, as is a Thursday tradition. It's gone wild.
My favourite.
I got swooped by a bird today.
Did you? Was it a magpie?
No, it wasn't.
it was
a minor bird.
Willie Wagged.
Oh, shut up, Dave.
A minor bird?
It's pretty embarrassing.
Any minor bird?
All right, enough.
Oh, jeez.
Run out of town. Hey, Scotty Cam is going to swing by.
Oh, yeah.
It's all shaping up on the block.
It's finishing up this weekend.
I'm going to get stuck into him. He's been like a slave driver. It's like, you know, there's no labour laws in this country anymore. He's had them all in tears.
He hasn't been on the tools for a long time, Scotty Cam. I think he's lost touch. He's just a TV host.
You always take his side. Always. Hey, we'll take your calls. We'll take your tweets. So much to get through. But as I said, Jane Kennedy, not in attendance. She's out at the track.
Mm.
Stepping in at late notice is a friend of the show, Adam Rosenberg. Hello, Adam.
Rosie.
How are you?
Boys, thanks for having me.
Have you ever been out to a Oaks Day?
I have.
Yes.
I have. And
were you hobnobbing in the birdcage?
Mate, of course I was hobnobbing. I was in the birdcage. I was in the Meyer tent.
The Meyer tent.
I got an invite into the Meyer tent.
How'd that go?
I got kicked out of the Meyer tent.
Did you?
Yeah.
For what?
Well, apparently, according to security, I was dancing far too close to Jennifer Hawkins. And on the third occasion, they came and said, mate, you've been told, out you go. And I went to argue, and two blokes seriously came out of nowhere, just grabbed me by the elbows, and just walked me out and went, yeah, I'm leaving as well.
Dancing
mate.
Too close to Jenny
wow.
Hawkins.
Yeah.
You were dry humping her leg at the time, I believe.
Not quite.
Is that a thing? You can't?
Yeah, yeah. So there was she was surrounded by a wall of her mates, and
right.
I had
dancing too close
I'd gotten into that,
Hawkins.
Yeah. I'd gotten into her orbit and then kicked out.
Oh, no,
what sort
that's
of dance
right.
were you doing?
You penetrated her force field.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
terrible.
Got in there. What sort of.
I've been to the birdcage.
Yeah, what?
$2 shop marquee.
That's a nice marquee,
the reject shop marquee.
Wow.
Lovely one.
Raised Tent City marquee. It was just a tent from Raised Tent City. Subway marquee. I was.
Oh,
that wasn't a marquee, buddy. That was just a restaurant. That wasn't on course.
It was on the way home.
Yeah. What about the Aldi marquee? I saw you in there for a little while. You had to bring your own cardboard box.
Yes. Hey, so anyway, we'll get to the bottom of that. So we're going to cross out very shortly. Have you heard from her today?
Haven't heard from Jane yet, but I know the weather in Melbourne's been fairly ordinary too. A bit cold and windy.
It's terrible down there.
Yeah.
The track's been downgraded to wet.
Yeah.
And since Jane arrived, the marquees have been upgraded to dry. I bet you they've run out of rosé. I bet you there's someone in the birdcage running around going, we need more rosé. She's an animal. She's an animal.
She's gone hard.
She's gone hard.
She's gone early.
It's not even race 7.
She probably doesn't even know her horse is racing.
Oh, she wouldn't even see a race today.
No.
So we will catch up with her. I hope she's gone mad fashion-wise. I hope she's gone the Gene Shrimpton option. Remember Gene Shrimpton? Wore a miniskirt.
Yeah.
Hullabaloo.
Does anyone go the Jeannie Little kind of outfit anymore? You know, just a flamboyant, ridiculously stupid outfit. There's a lot. I'm looking at the pictures online today. There's a lot of white. People have gone on the weekend, they're gone, you know what? I think white is going to be the colour of the day.
Right.
And I'll tell you what, you are going to be regretting that.
It's a wrong colour.
What about men's fashion? Has anyone caught your eye?
Usain Bolt, I mean, he's just gone. He's gone like a tan.
He can do what he wants.
You reckon?
Yeah. As opposed to Dave Hughes. Now, Dave Hughes.
What's he done?
The picture that Fabio yesterday. Oh. I didn't know whether he was attending the races or auditioning for Showboat.
He had a boater hat on.
I don't know. Was Dave Hughes or was Tom Sawyer at the races?
You know what I would...
You're a friggin' boater!
What's happening to Hughes?
He's in some kind of a cappella band. Yeah. He'd lost his mates.
You know what I'd like to see happen is somehow a young Dave Hughes from 1987 comes to the future and punches an old Dave Hughes.
Don't wear boaters.
And knocks the boater off his hat. Where did that idea come from?
I don't know.
He's hiding her beautiful mop of hair as well. Right.
He's an enigma.
He is.
We love Dave. He's an okay squash player. But,
is he?
Fashion's not his strong suit. No. Okay, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a song, Dave, and when we come back, we're going to try and cross out live to Flemington for the Kennedy. Is it named after her? It's called Kennedy Oakster.
Yeah.
All right. James is going to come up right after this. Thanks to Holden Colorado, by the way, which is now backed with 7 years free scheduled servicing across the 4x4 range.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Michelle Payne to join us in the second hour. Scott Cam, Gone Wild and more. Oh, it's a big Thursday. Kennedy Malloy, Jane Kennedy, Mick Malloy and Adam Rosenbach's in studio as well.
There it is. Well said, Dave. I'm watching on Channel 10 as we speak a live feed from the races. Hats off to Francesca Cromani.
Oh, yeah, she's brilliant.
She's turned herself out beautifully today. I highly recommend it if you'd like to tune in. There's a rating spike coming your way.
She on your list?
I'm just penciling her in right now. Hey, come on. Let's not muck around.
Let's get to the races.
Jane Kennedy's at the races, and she's out there to watch her horse, right? You might not know this, but Jane... I think it's about a fifth generation. It's not ruling class, but they're very wealthy family.
Leafy suburbs.
She comes from the leafy suburbs.
So would she have arrived today on side saddle?
Side saddle? Or in a carriage.
That makes sense, yep.
Carriage for six horses. Royalty. So she's a blue blood.
Yeah.
And as it's the sport of kings, she's obviously one of her many horses.
Yeah.
She's got about 60.
Is that right? Okay. 60?
Yep.
And I know what she's going through. As a former greyhound owner, I understand the heights that these days can reach.
So she's out there watching one of her horses run today.
Okay.
It's a late entry into the Oaks. Its numbers are crunching in as we speak. Last spotted. This is victory approach at 71 odds. Let's cross out to Jane Kennedy. Hello, Jane. Come in. Where are you?
I am currently on the set of the project.
Oh, okay.
It's the quietest place I could find to actually do a cross to you, and I don't like your attitude so far.
What do you mean? We're out here.
I don't like your highfalutin talk about me. I'm a girl from the suburbs, and it is still a thrill for me to be out here, and it's not... the sport of kings, it's the sport of queens.
Oh, pardon me,
and especially it is today on Oaks Day.
All right,
I
stand corrected.
So, Jane, what has it been like out in the public area this afternoon?
I beg your pardon, I didn't quite catch that.
Has anyone have to hold your hair back yet while you take a Ralph?
I am a very mature, elegant fashion icon, and
hey, what are the fashions on the field out there today, Jane? Tell us, what have you seen? What have you noticed? What's caught your eye?
Well, disappointingly, there's not enough slutty outfits out here for me.
That's a shame.
Everybody's covered up a bit, I have seen an absolute horror. It's people wearing plastic raincoats.
Oh.
And that is a terrible look. Unless they're naked underneath. I'm not plastic raincoats allowed. I'm standing here in the Channel 10 marquee, as I said, and it's they're all going off. They're all going crazy, these young ones.
What's happening there? Grand Denyer there? Is he riding today?
He was dressed up last night. You might have seen him on his celebrity name game.
Yep.
Stephen Curry's here.
Oh.
Janine Ellis.
Oh, yeah.
Kim Miranda. You won't know any of these because you are hopeless.
Yeah.
But people who are interested in the world will know that. I just saw Sam Wood.
Oh, yeah.
Who married Susanna.
Basically, what
your old friend.
You're listing people who can't get into the good tents.
Rosie, I tell you what, trust me, you would like to be where I am sitting.
Well, that is very true.
The view I have right now.
Okay, I believe that.
All right.
On to the horse race.
Where are you? I just want to know exactly where you are so I can direct all the protesters to find you, to boo you and throw stuff
How
at
dare you?
You.
Well, that is ridiculous.
All right. So yeah, what's happening? Now, what's happening with the horse?
Yeah.
Well, Michelle's done a rider. She's had a good track work this morning and yesterday, as we found out when we talked to Michelle. And you'll hear that interview at 5 o'clock today. You will speak to me post-race.
We will.
And, I've got all my mounting yard passes, all my owner passes. Oh, I've got all that, so I'm ready. Oh, yeah, I'm ready to go.
All right. Now, how are you getting home?
Well, the chopper's looking good.
What's happening?
What is wrong with you?
No, but it's...
Well, why would I not go home? Why are you not shouting me a chopper home?
I'll send you an Uber.
But it's Uber, chopper, pool. So you've got to go to six different places before you get home, Jane.
All right, Jane Kennedy, we're going to let you go and drain the course of Rosé.
And thank you, Rosie, for stepping in. And Mickey, thank you for giving me such a treat.
My pleasure. I cannot wait.
I'm very excited.
So we've got special dispensations because the race is at 5:50. And we normally have to finish by 5:55, but I've told them no way. All metropolitan stations will be hanging with us to watch the race and then get a report from you immediately afterwards. I've got a couple of grand on this, so...
You have not.
He does.
I have.
Do not put a couple of $1,000 on this race. It's ridiculous.
Don't tell me what to do. I can't be tamed.
Hey, have fun, boys.
Jane Kennedy, you have fun. Thanks for checking in.
Good luck.
Okay.
She'll be up to no good out there.
Victory approach.
She'll need a jigger. Take a jigger to Jane Kennedy.
Another rosé with extra ice, please.
Okay. This is Kennedy Malloy.
There she is.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy. Kennedy Malloy.
And Adam Rosenbach's in studio.
Sitting in for Jane Kennedy, who's out on course as we speak. Good on her. It is actually a very big day.
Of course
you've got a horse running in the Oaks. It's the feature race.
It's exciting.
And she does. She's pretty, the last couple of horses that Jane's been in, it's been all chicks and,
syndicates
and jockeys
women.
And owners and trainers. So good on her. I hope it all goes well for you today. We'll be covering that, and we will have an interview with Michelle Payne we recorded earlier. We'll be playing it.
The great Michelle Payne.
After five, as we said, late notice, Adam Rosenbach has stepped in and helped us out. Good to have you on board.
You admiring my tan, mate? Hey?
Until you just mentioned it, I had no idea.
Oh, God, I even wore white so the tan would pop.
Where have you been?
Thailand. I needed a holiday and I thought, what better place for me to go than Thailand?
So explain why that's a terrible place for you to go.
Well, I'm a little bit anaphylactic.
Anaphylactic.
To peanuts.
They have peanuts in everything.
Well, look.
They have peanuts in a salad. They have peanuts in a sandwich.
That's true.
Peanuts in their biscuits. It's just peanuts. It's the home of the peanut.
It's my skydiving. People get their adrenaline rushes different ways. I go to Thailand and, you know, I play it safe, Mickey, right? I go to the markets. I get the knockoff EpiPens and you can barter them down to 150 baht. So that's,
oh my God.
That's like $7.
You would have to carry one of those in your holster. Yeah. You'd need five of them in your top pocket. Like the pen
holders.
So what happens if you eat peanuts? You just get all a bit claggy in the throat or something.
What happens? Yeah. Let me paint the picture. We were in Bali.
Right.
For Limo's fake wedding. Remember that one?
Yeah.
And Rosie, what did you have?
I ate what I thought was a chip, but it had peanuts on it and ended up in hospital and they were talking about doing a tracheotomy.
Are you kidding? That's a hole in the throat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We've all seen that episode of MASH.
Yeah. Break the pen in half, put it in my throat.
Wow, just with
and made a face like a pumpkin.
Really?
Yeah. It was so funny.
It's not funny. Horrific.
Everyone else was laughing. My girlfriend got a selfie with me. Everyone was having a ball.
They were going around. Wow. It was the best
crazy.
And so why would you go to Thailand? Yeah. Why would you risk it?
I just really enjoyed it.
What are the rules? What do you have to do when you get there?
Now there's actually, if anyone out there has children or allergies themselves, there's a website called killerpeanut.com. And you go to that and you type in what you're allergic to and it translates it into whatever language you need it and you show that at restaurants and they look at it and they go, okay, you're an idiot. You can't eat here. And so then I just go and eat at the 7-Eleven.
Here's a conversation I'm used to. Hi, is there MSG in this? No. Great. You have it. Bang. It's MSG. Full of MSG. They will tell you whatever they think you want to hear. The guy in Bali said to you, he goes, you said, is there peanuts? You go, no.
No, there's no peanuts anywhere here. And I proved him wrong.
Yeah, that's right.
So I got him.
So you're like your best behaviour? Like, do you wear gloves? Are you like the boy in the bubble?
You know what? I have a little taste of everything. And then if, you know, 3 or 4 minutes passes and I'm okay, then I can eat that.
You should have a taster. That, you know, like kings used to have. They'd have a taster. I'll throw my hand in the ring.
Mate, I get through all of Thailand, and the last day that I'm about to fly home, I ended up with gastro, which was the absolute worst.
Just terrible. What, on the plane?
Yeah, went on the plane. Because you know
how long's the flight?
You know when, I think it was 8 hours home, you know when you start getting sick, you know a cough should never end in a shower. You just go, that was wrong. I'm going to fully close shower here. This is not good.
Oxygen masks were dropping from the ceiling immediately above you.
Well, with the safety demonstration, I'm like, I tell you what, I don't need a light and a whistle to attract attention. And I'll show you where my exits are located.
Oh, it's on. So was it something you ate before you got on the plane?
Yeah. It was the last thing I remember eating and just waking up the next morning and going, this is going to be hell.
Were you on the toot, may I ask, for a fair bit of that flight?
Yes, I was, Michael, yes. Right.
Was there turbulence?
There was no turbulence, but I did commit.
Like a black box recording of that toilet.
There was a lot of emissions, let's put it that way. Greta Thunberg hates my guts.
Hey, we're talking about planes. So, what was the airline you were traveling?
Was it Dutch airline?
It was a Dutch airline. Earlier, was it yesterday?
Yeah. So there's a Dutch airline at the moment out there that's in a bit of strife because the pilot, he set off the wrong. He pushed the wrong button.
Have a listen.
Air Europa says that it was a mistake on board the aircraft. The captain of the aircraft had actually hit a button that indicated an hijacking was underway, that there were 27 passengers on board the aircraft. But the airline putting their hands up here and saying it was a mistake.
It's just a casual mistake.
Have we all had a laugh?
Yeah, a bit of a chuckle. When the SAS stormed the plane, you just go, I shouldn't have brought back those. That wouldn't.
All right. Hey, now listen, there's some big news, some touring news, and I know it affects you because you like your heavy metal, don't you?
I do.
When we come back, I've got some huge news. A lot of you will be hearing for the first time.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Kennedy Malloy.
And in for Jane today while she's at the races is the great Adam Rosenbach is joining us on Kennedy Malloy.
She's got her shoes in one hand. She's throwing up in her handbag as we speak. She's got to get through to 5:50 when her horse goes round. We'll catch up with Michelle Payne very soon. Adam Rosenbach sitting in. Adam, your strong suit, it's fair to say, is heavy metal.
I do love it. I was shattered. We were going to go to Metallica a couple of weeks ago and they pulled a pin.
So I had you, me, Dave, and Jay, our producer, all lined up, ready to go.
Ready to go. Substance abuse problem.
It's on brand at least. Mm. How many times has he done that?
Oh, that'd have to be. He'd be nudging double figures.
But they're good
for each other's back. So that's the thing I like about Metallica. When they know someone's up to no good or something's going on, give each other a cuddle, go, you know what, let's just back off for a bit and we'll get yourself sorted.
Do it after Australia, maybe. Have a light beer. There's zero alcohol beers available.
Come out here.
Yeah.
You know, I've got a ticket.
Because I think they're still honouring their shows in the States.
Right. Okay.
So it's like, are you really going into rehab or you just don't want to fly?
I'll come back.
What's it
hey,
about?
Well, I'll tell you who will be flying out here, possibly on their own plane. Mm. And I point out, you're a heavy metal fan. I'm more Gypsy Kings.
Are you? Right, okay.
You like
Gypsy a bit of
Kings
flamenco in the background, do you?
Pete Murray. You know, that kind of.
Were you a Jack Johnson fan?
I'm a huge Jack Johnson fan, whoever he is. Hey, now listen. So this is huge news. Mm. You want to break it? What are we doing?
Iron Maiden are coming to Australia next year.
Bang. That will be massive. You're a huge fan.
I do love them. I went and saw the documentary Flight 666, which is Bruce Dickinson flies their plane around.
Yeah.
And we were in the theatre and it was so loud and we were like, wow, this is beyond normal, what a theatre does. And we found out a friend of ours was a projectionist and he knew we were in there, so he cranked it.
Oh, no kidding.
So everyone who was in there was like, wow, this is like being at the concert.
That's fantastic.
Nuts. So it was great.
What are their live shows like? You're a fan. You reckon they really bung on a show?
They are built for, they're stadium rock. They are what it is built for. The huge stage, the big lights, just the full-on show. It's just built for the crowd. They involve everybody. It's fantastic.
And the crowd's gone with them, it's fair to say.
Yeah, 100%.
The last time they came out here, I was in Melbourne. Mm. And they were playing at the Tennis Centre and on Punt Road, just the Cricketers Arms Hotel. My car's parked out the front. And out the front are Iron Maiden fans in Iron Maiden T-shirts, Iron Maiden leather jackets. But they just don't fit anymore. They're popping buttons.
Yeah. They're pulling out the denim jackets from 1984.
But the heavy metal fans are the best music fans, in my opinion, because they're right. They're all in, aren't they?
They're all in.
They're and all they're in for their music.
And they're the calmest. There's never any exactly. trouble. Like when I went to Download earlier this year, yeah. everyone's just calm. You walk they're here, you it. Go there. No one's punching on.
All right, where do you put Iron Maiden in the pantheon of heavy metal?
Well, I'm gonna rank my top five.
Okay,
here
we go.
Here we go.
So, all right, I'll throw in some of mine.
Yeah, you got a couple. All right, Gypsy King scares me, but that's okay. All right. So, at number five, we've got this one, Dave.
Generals gathered in their masses.
Bang.
Aussie.
Just like witches at Black
Sabbath. So you got Black Sabbath.
Oh, yeah. Black Sabbath. Oh, they started the whole thing.
Exactly.
The whole King Caboodle.
You've got to go.
Saw them live.
One.
He was great. He was at the Tennis Centre again recently.
How is that?
Shuffling around the stage like Cliffy Young.
But his
but
voice.
Still on.
Exactly.
Song.
His voice
and
is
Tony
nuts.
Tony Iommi still just going absolutely cake and bananas.
Good fantastic. Call. All right. Black at number four, one of the first bands I listened to. This is Megadeth.
Oh.
So this is like proper metal. Oh, this is too heavy for you.
No.
So this is from the album Rust in Peace, and when I first heard this album, it blew my mind. So,
all right,
it's fantastic. So, what do you think? You're happy
not
with the first
bad,
two?
But you okay. know who I'm like
missing
to throw
someone?
In there?
Okay.
Oh, a Twisted Sister.
All right, well now you're now you're mocking my list.
More of a hair metal kind of.
Everybody, anymore. He's getting angry.
You've got to admit, how good were the film clips?
The film clips were great.
Yeah.
The
film clips.
We had Dee Snider on the show.
That's right.
Did you really?
He's in a wrangle with Clive Palmer.
That's right.
He was bloody funny, to tell you the truth. Okay, so park that.
All right, so number three is the band that is touring next year. Fine, mate. How good is this?
Man.
To see this live.
They're a bit of a, like a...
Just a bit hair metal kind of band?
Like a novelty band or something.
No, that's offensive. It's offensive. They were the new wave of British heavy metal, Michael.
All right. Settle down.
I'm getting angry.
I've got one. Yeah.
Oh, here we go. What do you got here?
Limp Bizkit.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
They're sort of more new metal.
New spelled NW. Yeah. Because you don't want to waste the rest of the letters on that crap.
Again.
All right. Then we're coming up with two of the gods. So wow. this is Slayer. This is Angel of Death. This is kind of the ultimate.
You put them above Fear Factor?
I think I do. So it's Slayer, you know, Slayer. One of the big three that started.
Could I have just one more go?
Oh, God.
What do you got here?
Oh, no.
Oh, Warrant.
Okay. The only list this makes is 15-year-old boys for the film clip. That I agree with.
All right. What else? What do you got?
All
top
right,
of the tree?
So number one for me is the band that didn't make it out here. Metallica.
And that's a ballad.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
That's one of their power ballads.
They set the tone. They went off the rails a little bit, but I think they've got
if
it
If you
back.
Think we've missed anything, give us a call, 1-3-5-3. A fascinating tour. Iron Maiden fans, rejoice. They're on the way. They'll be flying out of here in their own big plane.
And if you think Mix missed anything, don't give us a call.
That's right. Perth's RAC Arena, May 1, well, they'll commence their tour of Australia, and May 3 through to 11 and more. Check out kennedymalloy.com.au.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Adam Rosenbach is with us as well, who's very excited on the back of the news that Iron Maiden have announced they're coming back to Australia. Tour details at kennedymalloy.com.au.
Will you be camping out for tickets? What will you be doing?
I'll be relying on you, Michael.
That's right.
That's how
standard operating procedure.
Pretty much.
It is. All right. The horns are up in the studio as
Aren't
we
they?
Take a waltz through the best heavy metal bands in the world. You're out and about with... Your top five,
so I went,
which is reasonably good. Mine weren't as well received, but, you know.
You did your best.
I did my best. I tried. Everyone wants to get in on it. Alex is on the line. Alex, who do you reckon should be in the conversation?
Well, I think Adam actually said six bands.
Right.
Mm.
Anyway, but I think Pantera.
Yeah, you know what? I had them very close there, Alex. They're the one that I had to leave out.
Have you seen them live?
I have, twice, actually.
Yeah, the fans are pretty committed. I find. Have we got a bit of Pantera?
Yeah. How's that go, Alex?
That goes great.
It's a very good song.
Just a little shot in the arm for you there, Alex. Nathan's on the line. Nathan, which heavy metal band do you think should be in the conversation? Best of?
Mick, we mentioned the big four metal bands a bit earlier. We left off, the big three. We left off the fourth one, Anthrax.
We did really like Anthrax.
Where do you stand on Anthrax?
I used to really like Anthrax. First band I ever saw was Anthrax.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
In 1991, actually.
Mine was Hush, and they were singing Bode Maroney.
Similar.
Are you playing these very short, Dave? Have you been under instruction not to play too long listing for fear of frightening away
some
of our softer listeners? Give it a run. We want to know what we're talking about. Yep. But can I? Oh, this is what I agree with.
Okay, who you got here?
Tony, who would you like to put into the conversation?
I think, one would be Public Image Limited, but I reckon another band would be Europe. Final Countdown.
Hey, Tony, you haven't lent of us, are you?
Of course I am.
Of course, yeah.
Great.
Public Image Limited, though, I saw them live too.
So I wouldn't say they're metal.
I wouldn't say they're metal either, more punk.
Punkish,
down there in the pool. I saw them live at a pub gig, and they started chucking cigarettes at Johnny Lydon.
Did they really?
And he just left.
Really?
Off the stage, which wasn't great because I was working at the venue at the time.
Throwing cigarettes.
And, well, just to say, when he left the stage, it didn't come back. And there's
didn't
a whole
go down well.
Amped up
punks.
Looking for an outlet.
Mm.
Didn't go well. All right. Andrew's on the line. Andrew, this, I think, is the place in rock and roll. Valhalla is assured. Who are you thinking?
I'm thinking, well, before my addiction to Metallica happened, I was lucky enough to go and see Lemmy and Motorhead at the Palace.
Bang. Lemmy, one of the all-time greats.
No question.
Brilliant. Brilliant, right. Brilliant it was. Yeah.
Give it a rip, Dave.
A little Ace of Spades, a bit of Motorhead for it.
There it is. All right, thank you.
And apparently you went and saw them, your ears were bleeding for days.
What about Jane's Addiction?
Well, see, again, more alternative. Yeah. No, I like Jane's Addiction.
Good band.
Very good.
Into them.
But yeah, they're not metal, mate.
All right, Dave. All right, settle down. I need some capsicum spray in here. Time for one more. Adam, who do you think?
G'day, guys. First time, long time. I agree with your list, but I reckon move everything down and put Tool at the top.
Tool. Dave. All right, we get the idea. Yeah. I think we've run the gamut.
Yeah.
The conversation's ongoing. Contact us through socials.
Absolutely.
Hey, very exciting here. A friend of the show and a funny bugger. Titus O'Reilly's got a new book out. We'll discuss it with him next.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.
The last time sports comedian and author Titus O'Reilly was in, he revealed the daily struggle of being a sports tragic.
We're fighting racism and homophobia and all these things, but the greatest marginalised group in Australia is people just want to sit on the couch and watch sport all day.
You're right.
Because we're persecuted in our own homes. I had my brother come in the other day and he said, are you going to be watching cricket all day? And I said, no. For 5 days.
Titus has just released a new book, Please Gamble Irresponsibly, The Rise, Fall and Rise of Sports Gambling in Australia. And he joins us now. Please welcome back to the show, Titus O'Reilly.
Hello, Titus, how are you?
Oh, good to be back.
You know Adam, of course.
Very well.
Filling
very
in
well.
Admirably for Jane Kennedy, who's out on course today. Got a runner in the Oaks.
Didn't know you got a day off if you owned a horse.
No, I would have thought having a runner in the Oaks, you need to be there, don't
what
you?
What a bonus.
You know, it's not going over the hurdles of Warrnambool. It's a big one.
Jane doesn't do anything from Boxing Day on because of the Sydney to Hobart. She's got, a super maxi.
She has several yachts in that.
Indeed. Hey, listen, mate, I have to ask, with the racing, we'll get your book in just a second, was there ever a law that would have discriminated against women on a racetrack or not allowed them to be on a racetrack?
Yeah, when the VRC legal licensed bookmakers for the first time, because originally it was just anarchy and it wasn't really legal or not legal, they licensed them on the agreement that they would never accept bets from women. So this is sort of 1890s. They said, all right, we'll let you operate on our racetracks, but they're, you know, don't take... And no unfortunately, bets. It's all gone downhill since then.
From
it's,
women.
Yes,
we've lost a bit
of
ground on that front.
We have.
They're out and about. The book, Titus, is called Please Gamble Irresponsibly. It's in stores now. It was out on Cup Day. Gambling... Where does Australia sit in the world gambling?
Oh, we're number one.
We're number one?
We are cricket... Australian cricket at its peak when it comes to gambling. You know, we are the Shane Warne, Glenn McGrath era.
Really?
We're
also the obesest, so we're the fattest gamblers in the world, is that us?
We're the fattest. We overtook America a little while ago, which is a fair... I mean, we don't get enough credit for that.
That's true.
And then we're the number... But we're number one. Singapore's the next on sort of how much you lose.
And what are we gambling on? What are we... Is it sports
gambling?
Pokies is
number one.
Pokies,
Pokies number one, then you sort of get in your horse racing and then sports gambling. Sports gambling, though, is the fastest growing. So okay. It was about 24 million we lost 20 years ago a year, yep. And it was 10 billion last year.
Oh, my
year.
God.
So go the size it. Of yep. it is. That, yeah, that.
Can I ask you, is there a devil's advocate? What's the problem with sports gambling?
Well, I mean, I'm sort of trying to take a position of not being completely anti-gambling because it's always happened. And, yeah. You know, right back to the convict periods, they used to gamble their lime rations to stop them getting scurvy. So they were willing to risk getting scurvy.
This how come you've got no
I've got
teeth?
A bit on this.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah, yeah, no, yeah, I've got to get in this. You're my no lime teeth? Rations. And that's what we did, you know. And one of the first gambling events that sort of written in the historical record of Australia is two blokes challenging each other to who could drink the most. Everyone got on and bet, and the guy who won died from it. And
oh,
they
wow.
went, this is not a sustainable betting model. You know, you think people get upset about horses dying in the cup. This was this the actual it. Person. So, yeah, we're right up there. So sports gambling is the fastest growing.
It's the and what about Australia? It has a rich history of... how we say, trying to rig it. You know, yes. We've been caught out cheating over the journey in gamblings
in
on
gambling.
Many occasions. I think of the Fine Cotton Affair.
Fine Cotton Affair, where they dyed a horse with
did
human
they,
hair
did
dye.
They go down to Bunnings, get the colour chart out?
These guys bought a horse, a better horse, and pretend to swap it out for a worse horse.
Yeah. So, wow.
And they missed out on the horse they wanted that looked exactly like the horse. So they went, what are we going to... So they bought a different horse. They mm-hmm. didn't at this point go, we might stop here. Yeah. They then go right. and...
It was like a Shetland.
That's right. It was actually a dog, a very large dog. They actually then go to the supermarket. And this is anyone out there listening who's got a group of mates can actually see this unfolding. Yes. They go, you know what we'll do? Instead, we'll go to the supermarket. We'll buy all the human hair dye in the aisle.
The just for horses.
Just for horses, yeah. They buy it all and they dye the horse overnight. The races the next morning. They wake
so
up.
So was the horse out the front, you know, in the silver foils, having a smoke?
Yes, flicking through Horse Weekly, and they then realise after they've dyed this horse the morning of the race, they go. As you do,
the
there's nothing worse when you realise you've dyed the horse incorrectly because they go, oh, the other horse has like these white socks, sort of, you know, on it too.
Yeah, yeah.
So they got some white house paint
good.
And painted the horse.
Yes.
Now, what happened is the minute the horse actually did get up and won, the steward said, what's going on here? And it's just leaking all over the grass.
Why is there not a film about this? That's one of the funniest episodes in Australian sporting history. The ramifications were enormous. Bookmakers were warned off tracks.
Yeah, the Tom Waterhouse's dad, Robbie Waterhouse and Bill Waterhouse. But, the greatest one in there is when the bookies weren't regulated, if you were putting a bet on, they used to regularly flee with their money, you know, with the punter's money. or if they lost and didn't have enough.
And why did they want to regulate
yeah,
that?
Yeah, and if they didn't have enough to pay back, if they'd lost the bookies all day and didn't have enough to pay the punters, they would flee. So what punters would do is they would look for who looked like the slowest runner. This is true, right? And so one time this bookie shows up and his leg's in plaster, like he's got a full broken leg. So he
gets
does
all
a
the
roaring
bets.
Trade. He gets all the bets. Oh, no. He's making a fortune. And then on the last race, all the punters were saying, well, we're betting with him because he can't run. And they all put their money on the favourite and the favourite gets up and this guy doesn't have the money to pay.
Right.
And as the punters are all cheering as the favourite crosses the line, they turn around to see the guy ripping off the plaster. And sprinting up the hill, and they never caught him.
It's ingenious. He got away. It's, cheating is so, gambling is ingenious.
Well, people put that much effort into legitimate ways of earning money.
One of my favourites was in Port Melbourne, the Dogs, back in the day, and they actually tunnelled under the ground and came up under the starter's hut and held the hind legs of the favourite. Inside the starter's hut. That's a true story.
Because, you know, the fact that this is a few years ago in South Australia, one of they filmed at the start of the race before they were putting all the dog to get ready. And one of the trainers was, let's say, stimulating the dog in a certain way. And the commentator sort of said, oh, I don't know what's going on there. Anyway, it gets followed up and a journalist approaches the trainer afterwards and says what was going on there, and he sort of denies it. But then this journalist, she went and asked two other greyhound trainers if stimulating a greyhound before a race makes it run any faster, which the correct answer to that is, how would I know? Guess how many of those two trainers actually said that? They both went, nah, mate, doesn't work.
I love it. One of my favourite points in our gambling or in our racing history was during the war when they couldn't race horses, so they put monkeys on greyhounds.
On greyhounds, yeah.
And raced them. Wow. Sport of kings. Hey, we've got to go. Titus, can you come back again on another day to help chew through this? Because this is a page-turner. It's bloody funny. It's just culturally significant. It's our rich, funny, brilliant history. The book is called Please Gamble Irresponsibly, and I'll be having a leaf through this on the way home tonight. Good on you, Titus.
Cheers, guys. Cheers.
Coming up next, Michelle Payne.
This is Kennedy Malloy. Strap yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Malloy.
Yep, sure is. Coming up later in the hour, Gone Wild is chock-a-block. We're going to talk, amongst other things, about a bird that swooped me today. My. How dare you?
Horrific.
There's a North Dakota brewery that features dogs for adoption on beer cans.
Wow.
Stand by. We'll get to the bottom of that. Scotty Cam swings by to explain his behaviour on the block. He has been driving them insane. He's a slave driver.
Scott Cam.
They've got across the line. We'll see who limped across, who will.
Well, it's the final this weekend.
Cannot wait. And, of course, we will be giving you a live update on Jane Kennedy's
Victory Oaks. Approach is the horse.
Victory Approach. Jane Kennedy is out on course as we speak, getting ready for her horse running in the Oaks. On that note, earlier in the day, we caught up for a chat with Michelle Payne.
As a young girl, our next guest, Michelle Payne, dreamt of one day winning the country's biggest race.
I just want to win the World Cup.
And in 2015, that dream became reality.
It's a fantastic history in Flemington, Michelle Payne.
I just want to say to everyone else can get stuff because they think women aren't strong enough, but we just beat the world.
Michelle's incredible story is told in the feature film Ride Like a Girl, in cinemas now, and ahead of hopefully adding another victory to that list and writing home a winner for Jane today at Oaks Day, we welcome to the show, Michelle Payne.
Michelle, how are you?
How are you?
I'm really good.
Hello, Michelle.
Mickey Malloy.
Hi, Mitch. Still chatting after making his debut in the movie. Stuff.
Thank you. It took a lot out of me, my role, I thought, but I think we got it across. Sam was okay, but I thought I stole it in the end.
Absolutely.
How's the feedback been for you, Michelle? The movie's fantastic. And
it is a great film.
You should feel so proud. Is it totally weird having a film made about yourself?
Initially, it took me a long time to get used to the idea, and even then it was still so overwhelming, but I've now sort of got to the point where I'm enjoying it, and everybody seems to have received it so well, had so much great positive feedback, so it's been a lot of fun.
Well, we've got so many questions to ask you about what you're doing. What are you doing right now? Even though it is today, you've got the Oaks coming up. I'm still amazed that you're going to ride today because I would have thought today you would have wanted to just frock up and watch the race, but how come you're riding Victory Approach?
Victory Approach is obviously one of my own horses I train racing in the Oaks, and, it's a very special day, 6 months in preparation for this. And, work with all the girls at home who've helped me prepare it, and Stevie, it's huge for us to be out there in the Oaks on the big stage. Representing our stable and all you guys who have taken a share in her, it's going to be a lot of fun.
I am so beyond excited, and I remember getting an email from you and you said,
how has this happened? Sorry, excuse me. like a week ago, Jane didn't even own a horse.
Michelle, I don't tell you
she
all
comes
this
in
stuff.
And she goes, oh, I've bought a horse. Great. This no, thing goes, it's in the Oaks. What is going on?
We had it up for lease, and there was lease shares available, and the lovely man, Ron Cameron, who bred her, had shares available. So obviously Jane had been an owner with me with Tenacity Miss, and absolutely loved it and so lovely. So it was very nice to be able to offer her a share.
Is this another one of all chick owners and syndicate attachments and stuff?
Pretty much.
Good on you.
There's a lot of lady female owners. I think there's 10% with 20 ladies in it. And then all my girlfriends from school and my sisters and everyone. So it's going to be a lot of ladies there tomorrow.
Well, if that wins, we're going to track you down. That'll be a good after party.
We're so thrilled that it is a group of ladies. And also
and on Oaks Day.
All your mates, which I love, from Ballarat. I'll be the only person who's not from Ballarat, so you have to adopt me today. That's what I love, the fact that it is all your mates who have supported you, and it's so that's why it's going to be fun.
Absolutely, and that's really what racing's about for me now. Like, it's, you know, all about enjoying it. It doesn't get more special than having your family and your best friends involved in a horse that's racing in a $2 million race, I think it is now. And, you know, how much fun is that? So that's what I'm in the racing game for, and, yeah, I can't wait.
Hey, Michelle, how's your weight?
Oh, beg your pardon.
Sorry, this is a rare opportunity to ask a woman about her weight without causing great offence, so I just thought I'd take it. How are you going?
You can throw that in there. It's going pretty well, actually. I've been working very hard on the farm, so it keeps my weight in check, and, yeah, I'll be all right for Victoria.
All right. Hey, no Uber Eats tonight.
No Uber Eats.
I'm going to send you 3 large pizzas. Where are you staying?
Well, Michelle, can't have any of the hors d'oeuvres being passed around at all the functions you've been going to. This is what is amazing. 1 minute you're on the front page in a beautiful couture gown on the front page of newspapers. The next minute you're in silks and you'll be riding. What's your training been so far? Were you on the track yesterday?
Yeah, I've been on the track all week, track work in the mornings, and had 2 rides at Flemington on Cup Day, which was really fun. So I haven't been riding a lot in races, but I'm really fit from working at home a lot. And, yeah, I just can't wait to get there out there on Victory Approach and see how she goes. It's going to be so much fun.
Should Frankie Dettori be banned from entering this country? Should he be met by customs and turned around at the airport?
I had a strong feeling for Frankie yesterday. I thought it was his day. And on Tuesday, and I said to him, I think this is your year. And how sad for him. Firstly, did run second and then be relegated to...
Man, he should have come last. They should have put him behind. I'm so furious at that man.
Michelle,
he's ruined a very good bet for me.
Yes, Mick's not happy at all.
What odds do you think we'll be racing at later on today?
She was 126-1 initially. But, yeah, I don't think she'll be 126-1 shot.
And by the way, you've done this before, haven't you? You've done this in a Melbourne Cup.
In a group one.
At 100-1. Yeah. So you're not to be trusted.
You never know what might happen. You never know. She's Jenny, as we call her. That's what we call her, Mick. You wouldn't know that. But her name's Jenny, the horse.
She's affectionately known as Jenny.
Yes.
And she doesn't know that. And she's got to be in it to win it. So that's amazing.
Well, thank you for your time on this day. We really appreciate this. Jane, of course, is on her way out to the track now. We've pre-recorded this today.
Yes, we have pre-recorded because I'm there and I'm in the owner's circle with all the Ballarat chicks.
Yep. I hope it's a win. I'm going to go berserk on it. I'm going to go a major plonk. There's going to be a betting scandal. I hope there's no fine cotton style antics going on here. Michelle?
Never.
Well, I hope you're able to share that around if you are.
And I'd come out myself, but unfortunately I've been warned off all major racetracks at the moment.
Well, especially Ladies' Day. We don't need you out there, Mick. Mick's holding the fort for me, Michelle. Of course,
Michelle, I was good in the film, wasn't I? I was pretty good.
Oh, back to you again.
Do I remind you of a good trainer?
You were one of those ones that I sort of had a hard time with my whole career.
Yeah, I'm doing the same thing to Jane Kennedy right now. Don't feel bad.
There's hope for both of us.
Hey, good on you, girls.
And a
good
reminder, also, everybody, go and see Ride Like a Girl if you haven't seen it yet. Yes. You will not believe the story.
Yep, go and check it out.
Go and support
it. Thanks very much.
Good on you.
Michelle Payne joining us there. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy, 2 comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Mick and Jane, Gone Wild.
Yes, Adam Rosenbach's sitting in for Jane Kennedy, who's out on course at Flemington waiting for the Oaks the Kennedy Oaks. She has a runner in it.
Only 25 minutes away.
25 minutes away. It's getting exciting now. Yeah. Victory Approach, yes. Current odds, I think about 70 to 1.
I think it is still about that too, yeah.
It's big time. We'll be crossing
through it. Haven't you?
I've got a lot of money on it, mostly yours.
Yep.
What have you? What are you having on it? What would you have on it?
I've got $2.50 each way.
Of your own?
Yeah, my own money. Yeah, I put the money in Kim's bank account.
You're a tight ass. How would you spend it if it won? What would you?
I think we worked out if it wins all up, we get about 1,000 between four of us, so 250 each. So, I don't know.
Look at you.
Maybe.
Off to the Indian restaurant?
Maybe I might do that. That's a great idea. Nice, mate. I'll shout the missus. That's a fantastic idea.
Papa Dom's on me.
Yeah, butter
all
chicken.
All right, let's get into it. It is Animal Kingdom, and normally I love this segment, but I'm a bit down and a bit dirty on the Animal Kingdom, which turned on me today.
You look flustered.
Yeah, what happened?
As I left my house to come here to do this work and host this segment, the Animal Kingdom struck out.
Jeez. It's been listening to the show, has it?
It's been in the form of a minor bird, which swooped me and hit me on that, made contact with my head.
Did a minor bird hit you?
I know. It's
a, not a magpie.
No, not a magpie. It's a magpie or something big or tough. Mm.
How big are we talking? Like the size of your fist? Maybe a minor bird?
Yeah, probably.
And then when it
yeah, and it was a sneak attack too.
Was it?
It came out of the sun, chanting its song of death. chat. It was on me before I could do it, and then there was a moment of panic.
What'd you do?
I did nothing.
Oh,
it's obviously got a nest somewhere. Wait till I find it.
I don't.
And destroy all future generations of that minor bird.
That's not sensible.
When you got pecked, did they rush you to the intensive embarrassment ward? Like, is that what happened? Because I don't think those things could go through the fontanelle of a baby, mate. It's a minor bird.
It hurt. It really hurt. Can I just
did
say,
it draw blood?
Have you have your fun? I don't know. You know, do you know what? I'm still too woozy.
We need to do a concussion test.
I'm going to leave my house in a bicycle helmet from now on. Hey, I'll tell you what it has done, though.
Mm.
It's knocked itself out of the running for the Australian Bird of the Year. As far as I'm concerned, the minor bird, which, by the way, is no place in this country. It's an Indian minor bird.
So it's an import.
It's an import.
Right.
I've been done over by the imported horses are winning all their races.
They flew here. Literally.
Yeah, flew here to peck me on the head. Really hurt. The Australian Bird of the Year. So minor bird, you're off the list. I went this is your last week for voting, people.
That's
20 hours. 20 hours of voting. The final 10, it begins. I put all my coin on the pelican.
You're a pelican fan?
I like pelican.
Why?
Just there's something about their big bills.
So they can just hold as much as they can in their mouth?
Yeah.
Unlike you with a beer, say. You can appreciate what they do.
Yeah, they regurgitate for the youngsters. It's really fun to watch.
I've seen you feed your boys.
what did you go on, Dave?
Budgie. Of course. Yeah, the native Australian budgerigar.
What would you go?
Oh, I love a cassowary.
Oh.
Cassowary.
Leggy. Dangerous. Rip your guts out.
You know what I want to do one day? How good would this be? To go to the cockfights?
Yeah.
But take a cassowary? All right, so where's your cock? And he comes.
He just struts in. Look at the pins.
Undefeated. Undefeated.
Wow.
Hey, here's a good one for you. Now, a woman who put an octopus on her face ended up in hospital.
Oh, don't you hate that when that happens? Can't a woman just put an octopus on her face anymore?
Didn't see that one coming, did she? A Washington woman's photo with an octopus not only went viral, but it also led to a serious infection after the creature bit her chin. We've got the news report.
Jamie Bishelia met up with some fishermen who'd hooked an octopus during a fishing derby August 2nd. She saw an opportunity for an unusual picture.
It was a photo contest in the derby. So crazy me, hindsight now, and looking back, I probably made a big mistake.
Bishelia put the small octopus on her face and posed. It grabbed her face with its suckers, then did something she didn't expect. It bit her.
It had barreled its beak into my chin. It was a really intense pain and dripping blood for a long time.
Shelly says the whole painful experience.
That'll do. We get the idea. That's fantastic.
I've been attacked by a minor bird.
Mate, that would be worse. It's not the first time. Do you remember there was that woman, the Korean blogger, who used to eat food? She's got like about 10 million followers. She eats food on her blog, and she went to eat a live octopus. Here's how it went down.
I'm like that with Red Rooster.
that's pretty funny. You got one there?
It suctioned it to her face and she just couldn't get rid of it. Yeah. How about this? A North Dakota brewery is featuring dogs up for adoption on their beer cans. So there was a local,
shelter.
Animal shelter. Yeah, they couldn't get rid of the, not get rid of, people weren't adopting the dogs. So they put the dogs on the beer cans and now people are just going absolutely bananas for them.
I'll tell you, I'll end up with 40 dogs at my house after, after a big Friday night at my house.
A dozen pit bulls.
And by, by the way, if any of those dogs are starting to look attractive to you, you've drunk too much.
You know what? On that though, I might do that with, I might put myself on some bottles of rosé. Maybe some ladies might.
I like it. I like it. Hey, stand by. Coming up after this song, Scotty Cam is in here to explain himself. He's been a very, very nasty customer on the block. He has been going berserk.
All right.
He has been rolling with an iron fist.
Okay.
Has he beat them into the shape? It's a big day Sunday.
Scott
All
Cam
be revealed.
Next on Kennedy Malloy.
This is Kennedy Malloy. This Sunday night on Channel 9, the biggest block ever reaches an epic conclusion.
Toes down!
After 14 weeks of renovating, Mitch and Mark, Tess and Luke, Andy and Deb, Elise and Matt and Jesse and Mel have transformed the former Oslo Hotel terraces in St Kilda, Melbourne back to their former glory.
You have completed the biggest block ever.
Who will be the ultimate winner this Sunday? With all the latest, we welcome back to the show, Scott Cam.
Hello, Scotty.
G'day, guys. How are you?
Always a pleasure to have you. Adam, of course, you've just met.
Yes, Adam.
No Jane. She's out on the track.
I heard.
Now, you heard about the horse, and you immediately made a phone call, and you're on.
I'm straight on. I went on to sports bet, and I'm on 20 each way.
20
away. It's come into 50s, too.
I tell you what, if this gets on, we're all going out. It's going to be a monstrous night.
You guys are talking about it way too much because it's coming from 300s.
I'll tell you what we'll do. If it wins, we'll go down, let ourselves into one of the houses.
Great idea.
We'll go to the party house on the block. We'll open the doors
we'll
and go,
test
okay,
it out.
Bananas.
Yeah. I will take my $1,260 and, I stand to win.
How are you going? Are you as exhausted as all the contestants at this time of year or not? Are you
just look, I am a bit tired, but not as much as them. They've worked their bums off and they've worked hard. They've built fantastic houses. And,
been a bit
but
of
I am over it, don't get me wrong. I'm looking forward to see the back of this one. It's been a big one. It's been a big one.
And there's been a bit of moaning going on, and you have been driving them hard. Was it?
Yeah.
Did you deliberately, was that a preordained thing, or was it just this was a bigger job than anyone anticipated?
I think that about week three, we, as in the executive producers and myself, had a bit of a meeting, and we sat down and said, hang on a minute, I think we might have gone a little bit too big. And this is way too, you know, this is too big. And when I say I'm glad to see the back of it, I'm glad to see the back of this block, not the contestants.
No,
it's more about, it's just been such a big build, and everyone's getting a bit testy, me included, the producers, the cameraman, and we're all one big happy family. Next year, I promise, is going to be a happy block.
I tell you, testy's a word. There's been a fair bit flying around. It's been compelling viewing.
Yeah.
Here's one for you. And we know this block is in St Kilda.
Yes.
You've renovated half of St Kilda over the years.
Yeah.
But I was having a laugh because this one's in Grey Street. Mm-hmm. And I was watching you putting all that furniture in those front gardens, and I'm going, oh, how long will that last? That'll be gone in about 10 minutes flat.
Are the windows double glazed? Because I've walked down. There's some fruity language going on out the front of Grey Street.
And we saw it. A couple of those pretty languages that you're talking about came into the block and spent the night downstairs.
Oh, did they?
Yeah,
really?
While the contestants were asleep upstairs before the doors and that went in.
Oh, man.
Had to kick them out.
What are your reserves? What are you looking at? Do you think these will be the biggest prices in the history?
To be honest, I don't know the reserves yet. That happens tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know the auction order either. That happens tomorrow, and that's got to be decided. And I literally don't know it until I read it out. So it's always, I feel as though it's sometimes too high, but I never know because people are making $500,000, so it's not too high. You know, so I'm not a good judge down here in Melbourne because I am from Sydney, but I spend 6 months of the year down here. But my real estate pricing-wise... But these have got to go high. They're big. They're four bedroom, three story, four bathroom.
They're massive.
Huge. Oh.
They are massive. It's an incredible building.
We're hearing that some of them are flooding. What do you say to that? I was just reading news.com today, that's all.
Yeah, that's right. They're all five of them are flooding.
Is that right?
Yeah. No, they're not.
You're going to buy them, aren't you? And resell them next week.
I'm trying to get them cheap.
It's called an in-ground pool, okay?
No, they're not flooding. They're going real well in the rain. They're magnificent inside, and we're really strict about the structural issues of the build, and we make sure that they come up a treat because, of course, there's a lot of scrutiny from other media outlets that would love to see one of them, you know, not up to scratch, but they are.
Hi, love it. It's been a great viewing. Where are you going to next?
We are heading to Brighton.
Oh,
Brighton.
Is that right?
Yeah, looking forward to dealing with the neighbours up there.
A few tennis courts or something.
Yeah.
That's
right.
A second polo field.
Brighton,
I can't tell you what we're doing, but we are moving to the area of Brighton. We're not on the water, but we're close.
All right. Okay. And have you told Husey you're auctioning these?
Yeah. I've rung
Husey directly. Yeah,
yeah. He's got heaps of coin. He just buys houses like he buys milk.
You bought one, didn't you?
I bought a challenge, one of the challenge apartments that is done by all the contestants at the end, and that we sell that off, you know, off camera.
It's
just a challenge apartment. Oh, get them more money, so they can go on to finish off their places. But
and is that house for tax purposes?
No, I needed a house down here, and, because I live here for half the time.
Yeah,
right?
We consider you one of our own.
Yeah, I do too. And so I bought a block house because they're so fantastic. Yeah, it was fully furnished
and they're well made.
Wow. Yeah, and it was unreal. I've just come from there. I love it.
Hey, are you allowed to select a favourite or one that you think will get the most? Is there one that sticks out for you of these five houses?
Mick, as you would imagine, I would get asked that about 15 times today.
I know.
And the honest answer is that they're all fantastic and they're all different in every way.
Yes.
And we've got no control over the buying public. That's who decides our winner. So we're going in blind. Right, and like anybody that you might say, I don't like that house, someone else goes, I love that house.
Right. I'll ask you off air.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Just quickly. Which one's the best for swingers?
Oh, well, that'd be the party house, I would have thought.
Okay, great.
If I wanted to bury a body under the floorboards, which house
that'd
would
be? That'd
be
Tess and Luke. Okay. They've got a manhole.
Perfect. An official-style dungeon.
Dungeon that would definitely be Jesse and Mel's.
Hey, you're a good sport, Scotty. Can't we? We love watching you on the TV. Congratulations on another fine series. We look forward to seeing how it all goes down on Sunday night.
7 o'clock.
Night.
7 o'clock.
Here we go, people.
Nine. Scott Cam.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.
And Adam Rosenbarks as well.
Jane Kennedy out on the track. We are here manning the station. I'm here with Adam Rosenbarks waiting for the Kennedy Oaks to be run and won. Hopefully by number 15, Victoria.
Victory approach.
Never correct me.
I think we've wound it into about $1.20. We've got the nation behind
this
horse.
It's about 300-1. It's ladies' day. It's a bit of a handful out there. We're seeing brollies going everywhere. We are not allowed, of course, to play you the audio of the race as it runs.
You don't have the right.
So, speed. Dave, we might get you to just get some generic,
just some like racing horsey noises or something. Something like.
That sounds good.
I was thinking maybe someone throwing up in a bin would have been nice. You know, just some generic horse racing.
And
sounds.
Well, we'll try and call the action as we see it.
Did you want to be a race caller as a young boy, Mick?
It was never on my list of things to do.
No,
there was FBI.
Really?
Agent.
Okay.
Yeah. Free best inspectors.
Yep.
No, never bobbed up. Nor jockey. Nor have you been a horsey person over the journey?
You know what? I really haven't. I think my biggest involvement in horse racing has been with you. We went out to the Derby Day one year, and it was weather not unlike seeing down in Melbourne today.
Torrential. Indeed. There's the new stand. I love the new stand.
It looks great, doesn't it?
I mean, it is fantastic.
Quite futuristic.
It does look good. Get on it, you lazy pricks.
That's what we say. My racing parlance.
That's my racing calling. Yeah, that's
why
career.
It was cut short very quickly.
Yes. There's Peter Moody. That's who I modelled my character on.
Is that right? Yeah. On that movie you're in?
Yeah. Ride I was like a much more handsome Peter Moody type.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, very fast horses. Here we go. So we're putting the horses into the yards. Where's Jane Kennedy right now? I can drinking from the bottle directly, I would say.
So
she'll be murdering a bottle of rosé.
She'll be milling with the other
3,000
owners.
Yeah. So by rights, she could have been in the owner section, probably gave riding instructions.
I thought so. Get out early, that's what I'd say. Just get a leader.
Hurry up.
Get a lead up.
A quick game's a good game?
Yeah, exactly. Let's break a record here.
So here we go. And
waiting for the last few to come in now.
Yeah. They seem to be in a hurry.
No, they're not helping us out a lot here, are they?
I think they should cut back to Francesca Cormani.
Yeah.
I hope I've banged on about her today, but she's doing an excellent
job. She really is. She's fantastic. Great job, Channel 10.
I think so. Mm. Well done. Persevere with that, please. Yeah. We're enjoying your coverage. I didn't get out there this year. It would have been fun.
Was there a reason you didn't head out? I was overseas. I normally try and get to at least one of the race days, but chose to gamble with my life.
Kind of in a witness protection scheme at the moment. Okay. So it's very hard. We're getting closer. Gee, Jane, what would she be doing? She got butterflies. I got butterflies for her.
I'm nervous as well. Yeah. There's a lot riding on this.
Well, you don't have a lot riding on it. You've got $2.50 each way, Dave. Is that enough? Is that a big stake for you?
I think so. That's my kind of budget. I'm not a big gambler.
If this horse doesn't win, is that as Michelle Payne on camera right now?
I think there's a lot of pressure on Jane as well, because when they know her horse is coming in, cameras are going to be focused on her. So she needs to be at her best.
Sober up.
She needs to sober up, and she needs a lot of hairspray on a windy day like this, because if that's all over the shop, it's going to get replayed.
Wow.
They're 2 minutes late with this race, by the way.
They're not helping us out at all.
No, it's fantastic. It's good radio.
Sure.
By the way,
yeah,
I would have thought everyone hunched around.
A couple more to come in now. They're almost in.
Here we go. I'm very excited. What are we on? I've had a real crack at this.
All right.
Is it the last for the day?
I believe it would be.
It is, yes.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
All right. Here we go.
How many more? Oh, there's another one still to come in now.
Well, those horses aren't even in the race. No. What are they doing?
They're just milling about.
I can see a Shetland. What's the Shetland doing there? There should be a race for the Shetlands. I've said this before. One race up the straight at Flemington.
One more to come in, which is Vegas Jewel.
Shetland's halfway through.
Well done,
too.
The accurate one. What about something for the Clydesdales?
All right, we're almost ready.
All right, they're in the barriers. It's time, and they're racing. Here we go. Play some audio for us.
This is great.
What colours are we in? I probably should have paid attention.
That is a very good question. And also, it's not a short race for us either, so we're going to have
what
to...
What is it?
I think it's 2,000 metres.
2,500.
Oh, look at that.
2,500.
Yes.
There is a shot of jockey's bottoms.
Someone's just spewing.
There you go.
There it is.
There's your Oaks Day sounds. Now, when's the last time you did 2.5 Ks, Mick?
2.5 Ks?
Yeah.
Oh, mate, I've done that, being chased by the cops. Come on, get going. There's no pace on here.
Number 6 is leading so far, which is Silent Sovereign.
I hate that horse.
Ocean Mist, number 2.
All right.
Surely these horses are aware of the theatre.
6, 12, 3 and 5. No sign of the 15.
That's what we're after.
One horse is running on its hind legs. Another one's smoking. What's going on? No action as yet. Right, Jane Kennedy is going to cop it. Absolutely. Filleting for me. Unless something happens soon.
Would have been great if Jane was mic'd up for the race.
Come on, Payne, you're running it out the back. Have a go. Come on, hit it.
Mate, she knows what she's doing.
Jig it. Get the jiggers out.
I don't want the jiggers. Silent Sovereign is still winning this race, by the way. Ocean Mist at number 2. No sign of victory approach yet.
Has ever seen it? Hasn't it been called? Is it in the picture?
I think it's second last. Isn't it?
Yeah.
I think it's gone through the bottle to get Jane another rosé.
It's cracked a stitch. it's puffy?
Yeah, it's got a hoof on its hip.
Oh, my God. Whatever.
It is quite a long race, this one, too.
It is.
There we go.
Right, we're not far off it now.
Round the turn. Where is it?
800 to go.
I see the green hat. It's still coming
last.
It's last. Yeah, it's last.
Still
at the
coming
minute.
Last.
It is approach. Last by a long way.
And, falling further behind.
In fact, lucky it's not the last race, because they'd have to start it before our horse finishes. Where's it going? Where the hell's it going? I can't even see it.
I think it's getting a taxi. It's getting in line. It doesn't want to miss out.
Short of the chopper queue. Hello.
300 to go.
Not in shot.
She's bringing it out wide.
Not in the frame. Oh, come on.
200 to go. No sign of victory approach.
I have not seen... nor heard.
I tell you what, there's going to be...
What a waste of everyone's time.
Well, there you go. We're going to need a
last and...
Mind be bound.
You know what, though?
That's one of the saddest things I've ever witnessed.
No, Mick, if there are 12 or 13 protests, we could be up here.
Yeah.
We need a lot of things to go our way, but don't give up.
Hey, we just want to say a quick goodbye to our regional listeners as well. Thank you for joining us. If you want to hear Jane, get the podcast, which will be available right after this here on Kennedy Malloy.
And we'll speak to Jane as soon as her horse finishes. I believe it's still at about the 800-metre mark. That was sad. I mean, I don't want to say too much, but that could go.
It did need to sashay over the line. Needed to finish stronger than that.
Well, we have her on the line right now.
Jane.
She's let herself down. She's let her listeners
the
down.
Nation. She's been let down.
She's let Triple M down.
Yeah.
Who knows what that thing was? It could have been two blokes in a pantomime horse costume. I probably would have finished head. Jane, how'd you go? Is it finished yet?
I don't know. I think, you know what, ladies like to keep people waiting. We're taking our time and everything else is fine.
So
it's all good.
Was it last?
I think she might have come last. But you know what? We were just so excited that we had a runner in the Oaks, and that was the attitude we took all the way.
Yeah.
And I was sitting in the committee stand with all the assholes who had the winner.
Oh, jeez, got fruity all of a sudden.
All right. Well, follow them. It'll be a good party.
Well, yes, it will.
And how are you holding up? Can I ask how you holding up? It's been a long day.
Look, I never let the team down, and I'm completely sober, I have to tell you.
What?
Right. It's disappointing.
Well, it is disappointing.
Well, don't be silly. I am a mother. I do have some responsibility.
Oh, geez.
Never stopped me before.
Don't play that card.
Well, you just become a mother overnight. Did you? You will be the queen of the track. You always present yourself beautifully. You represent us brilliantly. Congratulations on being in it and being part of it.
That's
top, top 16, Jane.
Yes. Chick Syndicate. That thing's going over the hurdles or possibly off to Darwin.
Thank you very much. And thanks to Rosie for holding the sport. And I'm sorry that you had to put up with me, but, you know, I'm sure it's pretty good.
Hey, it's all fun. Good on you, Jane. We'll see you back here tomorrow. There it goes.
Have fun, Jane.
Yeah. And betting tickets are being ripped up all over Australia, according to Brad Cook on Twitter.
Of them in this office. And we need to thank, of course, the good folk at Holden, Colorado.
Now backed with 7 years free scheduled servicing across the 4x4 range.
What a great
bunch. Oh, we love Holden, Colorado.
We should have had the Holden, Colorado out there.
That should have been running right then.
Jane will be coming home in the back of a Holden, Colorado.
She will. Yes. Legs akimbo.
I hope she's okay. It is the greatest piece of automotive machinery I've ever clapped the peepers on.
Yeah.
I love this, and I'm not the only one. Mm. There are people, I love speaking to people from the Holden, Colorado family. Yeah. Adam, this will be your first experience. Wait till you see what we're dealing with here. These are the great Australians, the true Australians, those who rise head and shoulders above the rest because they demand the best. Courtney's on the line. How are you, Courtney?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, thanks for hanging in there while we waited for Jane's horse to finish. Hey,
anytime.
Courtney, you're new to the Holden, Colorado. How long have you had it?
I've only had it just short of 2 months now.
Two months. And how's it going? Is it a game changer for you? Is there still an air of excitement?
Oh, absolutely. It's my new baby.
It's your new baby. Now, there's something interesting that you've done. Tell me what you've done to the back.
Yeah, so I went in and got a custom-made mattress to fit in the back.
Into the tray?
Yeah, into the tray.
For what purpose?
So I can go out, go camping, chuck the dogs in the front seat and just go and explore.
And sleep under the stars.
Sleep under the stars, but don't worry, I've got everything covered.
From the tray of your Holden, Colorado.
Beautiful.
That is the best A1 primo spot in the world. That's the dress 100%. Circle.
Yeah.
On a mattress. I tell you what, you'll be a good catch one day, young lady. When did you decide to go for the ute? And is this a tree change for you, or are you just moving country? What are you doing?
So I've been looking at getting myself a ute for about 2 years, doing research, and then I just found the one that I wanted, and it was a Z71.
Yeah.
It looks like a beast.
It looks fantastic. I've got a picture of it in front of me, and you've decked it out beautifully. And this is fantastic. Can I suggest something? And you're standing in front of it. That should be your Tinder shot. It's very attractive to everybody, I'm afraid. Oh, now, what do you do for a job? Can I ask what you do for a job?
Yeah, I'm a dairy farmhand.
Good for you. How's business? Again, salt of the earth. These are the people who are doing all the heavy lifting.
You could race one of them and go faster than Jane's horse.
Hey, how's it going? How's life on the farm?
Yeah, no, it's going really, really well. And, yeah, it's going great.
Good on you.
Use the car when I can on the farm. Gets nice and dirty.
Well, that's the way. It can do it all. It can scrub up beautifully for the special occasions. We can get down and dirty and amongst it. Thanks, Courtney, for sharing your story involving the great Holden, Colorado.
We will shoot you out a prize as well. That's the show for today.
We are done, people.
Dr. Chris Brown is going to join us in studio tomorrow. We've got Clown of the Week. We've got Mix GoFundMe. Thank you so much for Adam Rosenbach for slipping
well
into Jane's.
Rosie.
Thanks for having me, boys.
Cheers today. Jane's back in studio to drive you home tomorrow. Kennedy Malloy.
Another Kennedy Malloy adventure is complete. And with the Holden Colorado, every day is an adventure. Now with 7 years free scheduled servicing across the 4x4 range, you're free to take on anything. Visit Holden.com for more details.